Now, executions, new death sentences, and the number of inmates sitting on death row in states have all been declining in recent years. That's according to information from the Death Penalty Information Center and the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. The former organization found that last year, 22 inmates were put to death in 2019. That's down from 25 the previous year and 52 a decade ago. That was the fifth straight year with fewer than 30 executions. Last month on Central Time, we talked to Robert Dunham from the Death Penalty Information Center about the state of capital punishment in the U.S. He made the case against the death penalty. Now, for another perspective, we have Kent Scheidegger with us. He's legal director for the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. Kent, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the argument for capital punishment, what do you make of the decline in those numbers of new sentences and executions in recent years?
I'd say there are two main factors in that. One is simply the decline in the number of murders. The number of murders per capita is down about half from the peak. And then on top of that, there is greater selectivity among both prosecutors and juries in selecting which murderers are going to be sentenced to death. So I think those two in combination have brought it down. Another factor is we have Illinois, which is a relatively large state, that abolished the death penalty. Other than that, the states that have abolished it have been fairly small. So,
and you,
that's the main factor.
You and your organization make the case that we should keep capital punishment as one potential sentence in our criminal justice system.
Yes.
For the basics, why do you make that case?
Well, the first case, and this is just for the very worst murders, is simple justice. The very first capital case I ever worked on involved a man who was in prison for life for murder, and from within prison arranged the murder of the witnesses to this first murder. So our choices of punishment in that case are either death or no punishment at all, because you can't do consecutive life sentences. We only get one life. We also have cases of serial rape, murder, torture. The case of Lawrence Bittaker, for example. Raped, murdered, tortured five teenage girls. A life sentence was simply inadequate for him, and it's a travesty that he was able to live out his whole life in prison.
One of the most common arguments against the death penalty is, even if it's rare that we get it wrong, the risk of getting it wrong and having this irrevocable punishment that we can't make up in any way, that's a strong case against it. People say, what do you say to that concern that we might execute the wrong people?
Well, that would be getting it wrong not only at trial, but all the way through the review process. I would say that is extremely rare to non-existent.
And
capital cases are reviewed far more extensively than non-capital cases. Capital defendants have resources far beyond what are given to those sentenced to life in prison. And I would say if you had an innocent person who was wrongly convicted of murder, the chances of him dying in prison are much greater if he's sentenced to life in prison than it is if he's sentenced to death.
Yeah, talk about the time it takes to go through a capital case.
It takes way too long. And every case should have a thorough review once on direct appeal and then a second time in a proceeding where additional evidence can be introduced. The problem is, we review these cases again and again and again, and not primarily for issues that have anything whatever to do with guilt or innocence. The repeated reviews are primarily over issues only on the sentencing phase. And so we're wasting a lot of time and a lot of resources on issues that have nothing to do with whether the person actually committed the crime.
We're talking about capital punishment with Kent Scheidegger from the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. He says we should keep it in our criminal justice toolkit. Kent, I want to give a listen to Robert Dunham from the Death Penalty Information Center. He worries about how capital punishment is applied. Here's a listen.
And the fact that the death penalty appears to continue to be arbitrarily, discriminatorily, and almost randomly applied have led to a decreased public appetite for capital punishment and an American public that is less trusting of states to carry it out properly.
Let's get to the first part of that statement, the idea that the death penalty is arbitrarily, discriminatorily, and he says almost randomly applied. What do you say to that?
Discriminatorily is not correct. That the idea that the death penalty is imposed more often on minority defendants than on white defendants for comparable crimes has been refuted by studies time and time again, including by the other side's own studies. The almost randomly part is just preposterous. These cases are reviewed through multiple layers, very carefully, considering all the facts, and it's only the worst cases that make it to the death penalty.
Is it fair to say, though, that even in places with the death penalty, there might be differences from one, say, prosecutor to another in how likely they are to seek the death penalty?
Well, I wouldn't say one prosecutor. I mean, the jurisdictions do have review boards within the office. So it's not one person deciding, yes, I'm going to go for death, or no, I'm not. There are differences between jurisdictions, and that's part of the decentralized system of government that we have in the United States. We decentralize decisions. We don't make one decision for the whole country. We have decisions by states. And then some of our officials, including prosecutors, are typically elected by county. And so there is some degree of judgment there. And the people of the county make that choice to elect that person to have the judgment executed, or that discretion exercised in a certain way. That's the system of local democracy working as designed.
And then that second part of the statement, he talked about an American public less trusting of states to carry out the death penalty properly and a decreased public appetite for capital punishment. At least some Gallup polling seems to bear that out over time, less support for capital punishment. Why do you see that happening?
Well, the main factor, if you take the question that Gallup has been asking since the 30s, which is not a good question, but it's useful for determining trends, you see that support for capital punishment rises and falls almost directly with the rate of violent crime. It's a very strong correlation. But the poll that the other side cites the most is an extremely badly worded poll question. And the results in death penalty polls vary dramatically, depending on how the question is worded. So if you don't mind, I'd like to actually read the question.
Sure.
Because it matters. Okay, here's the question that they cite. If you could choose between the following two approaches, which do you think is the better penalty? Definite article, singular. For murder, the death penalty or life imprisonment with absolutely no possibility of parole. As strong a supporter of the death penalty as I am, if I had to answer that question, I would say life in prison myself. Because that question is asking for one penalty for all murders. But that's not the real public policy question. That's not the question to be decided. The question is whether we abolish the death penalty, which we apply to the worst murders. A poll by Quinnipiac found that if you ask that question, there is a 2-to-1 margin for keeping it rather than abolishing it. Only 31% said abolish, 64% said no, do not abolish the death penalty.
As you mentioned, a lot of this is done state by state. There has been talk from Attorney General Barr about bringing back the federal, actually using the federal death penalty. Can you talk about how the federal system works as compared to what happens state by state?
Well, the federal death penalty does have a single prosecutor for the entire country. And so the Attorney General does make that decision on a nationwide basis for those cases that are within the federal jurisdiction. Now, most murders are not. Most murders are state. And the feds usually get involved if there's some other connection, terrorism, drug dealing, things like that, kidnapping across state lines. So for that system, the Attorney General makes the decision. And there is only one set of courts it goes through. It goes through the federal courts only. So it's a little bit different situation than you have with states, but it's basically the same criteria for whether a person is actually sentenced to death or not that a jury is instructed to use.
As you mentioned, you wouldn't support, it sounds like, the death penalty for all murder cases. Do you have a sense of, I guess, the percentage? What is the worst of the worst case where capital punishment might be appropriate?
It's a handful of percent at the top. I wouldn't try to put a number, a precise number on it, but it's a relatively small fraction. Most killings are impulsive, and those in states that divide murder into degrees, second-degree murder is not a capital offense at all. You can't get the death penalty for it. And so you have the majority of cases that wouldn't even be eligible for capital punishment.
We're talking to Kent Scheidegger, legal director for the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation, looking at capital punishment in the United States. He says it should be an option in our criminal justice system. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you come down on capital punishment? Do you agree with Wisconsin? Currently, it does not have the death penalty. Should it, or is it right that it doesn't? What do you want to see from the federal government? What do you think of the push by Attorney General Barr to reinstate it at the federal level? And what questions do you have for our guest about him and his organization's support of the death penalty? You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation about the death penalty in the United States. Kent Scheidegger is with us of the pro-capital punishment group Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. They say it should be an option, one potential punishment in our criminal justice system. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about Wisconsin not having the death penalty, not having capital punishment here in the state? Would you like to see it brought back here at the state level? Do you think it's an effective deterrent? How about at the federal level? And what questions do you have for our guest? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Chris starts us off in Middleton. Chris, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What'd you want to bring up, Chris?
So when I was in middle school, this is a number of years ago, they had us do reports and stuff like that. I did a report on the death penalty. Granted, this is from a middle schooler's point of view. but I found that, at least the data I found, suggested that the death penalty is significantly more cost due to appeals and court prices to the state versus life in prison. I was curious if that trends or, like, if that's true or even.
Chris, thanks for the call. Kent, the cost of capital punishment versus life in prison.
Well, that's hotly disputed and extremely difficult to determine. California once asked a consultant to do that, and they came back with the answer that that can't be done with anything like the budget you have for this for the study. So most of these simplistic studies should be taken with a grain of salt. I think the death penalty does presently cost a lot more than it needs to for the reason I mentioned earlier. Repeated appeals on issues having nothing to do with guilt. I think if we give everybody one full round of appeals for both guilt and penalty and then focus all further reviews entirely on guilt, it would go a lot faster and it would cost a lot less. So I don't think costing less is a reason to choose death rather than life in prison, but I think the claim that it costs vastly more as a reason to get rid of it is overstated.
Chris, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Jeff joins us now in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, I want to express my opinion, then ask a question. So when I went to school, the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill. And then when I learned about Jesus, Jesus said, the reason why we don't kill is because by killing someone else, it kills part of us because we're supposed to be close to God. So my question is philosophical in the sense that how does a society justify taking a life when we have a constitution that says we have a right to life? Is it constitutional? Is the death penalty constitutional?
Jeff, thanks for the call. I think two different questions there I'm hearing. Kent, a moral objection, first of all. Can you talk about that?
Well, the theological stuff is not really my field, but the thou shalt not kill comes from the King James translation of the Bible, which is a great work of the golden age of English literature, but as translation, it has a lot of problems. And the translation that I see in the modern versions is always do not commit murder. And I agree, do not commit murder, but not all killings are murder. Self-defense is not murder. Killing the enemy in war is not murder. And a properly executed death sentence is not murder. And the same book of the Bible that has that passage in it also prescribes the death penalty for a surprising number of offenses. So I don't think you can make the biblical claim if that's what you're oriented toward.
And then Jeff raised the constitutional issue he raised. People have thought, have argued that the death penalty constitutes cruel and unusual punishment.
All right. No, I think that's fairly clear that it does not. The Supreme Court decided it does not in 1976. That's highly unlikely to be reversed in the foreseeable future. And if you look at the original meaning of the words cruel and unusual, the word unusual meant not in accordance with the usages of the law. So a penalty that was in widespread use at the time the Constitution and the Eighth Amendment were adopted, and has been the law in most states ever since, it cannot be unusual in that sense.
Thanks, Jeff, for your call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about capital punishment. Kent Scheidegger is with us from the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. Back to your calls now. Todd is with us in La Crosse. Todd, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I guess mine was just more of his thoughts on what he thought about capital punishment for habitual offenders, you know, third or fourth drunk drivings or third or fourth dealing with drugs, you know, just, you know, having capital punishment for those offenders if it'll drive down offenses, you know, with them doing that.
Todd, thanks for the call, Kent. So capital punishment potentially for repeat offenders of crimes other than homicide.
Well, two answers. One, the Supreme Court has said it's unconstitutional. No. So that's that. My personal opinion is I agree with the court that it's disproportionate, and even a repeat offense should not be a capital offense if it's not murder or some crime such as treason or espionage. It's an extremely severe crime.
Todd, thanks a lot for that call. We got a message from Dave in Wausau who says, we don't have a justice system with enough integrity. He thinks it's weighted in general toward the prosecution, and he doesn't support the death penalty until that imbalance, as he claims, is balanced back out. What do you think?
No, I think the penalty is weighted in favor of the defendant. The prosecution must make its proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It must get a unanimous jury. And then after that, there are appeals, but only the defendant can appeal. The prosecution cannot appeal errors that run in favor of the defendant. So I think the defendant is amply protected in our system.
I want to get into a couple more issues before I run out of time, Kent. Another concern people have raised is the methods of execution. There was attention to so-called botched executions where the combination of drugs didn't work as planned. What do you make of that concern about capital punishment?
Well, the number of botched executions is actually very small, but it has happened. And the reason it has happened is that the opponents of the death penalty have put pressure on the drug manufacturers to cut off the supply of the optimum drugs needed for the best form of execution. The best way to do it is exactly the way veterinarians euthanize animals, with an overdose of pentobarbital. And when that is done, there have been no botched executions. So I think the opponents have actually caused that problem.
Another issue that comes up is the idea of competency. And this is one of those non-guilt or innocence issues that you may have touched on earlier, the idea that somebody might have committed the heinous act, but we regard them as not able to be competent to stand trial for that. How does that fit into the discussion?
Well, if the person is not competent to stand trial, then he doesn't stand trial. And there are people who have been held for a long time seeking to restore their competency. And sometimes they aren't ever restored and they're, you know, committed civilly instead.
Now, looking at the future of capital punishment and the politics surrounding it, the trends seem to be states either abolishing it, as New Hampshire recently did, or having official moratoria on it, as some states have done. Do you see things starting to swing back in the other direction?
Not yet, but I think it's certainly possible. We are seeing disturbing indications that crime may be going back up, in part because of misguided policies, not only and not particularly capital punishment, but going soft on crime generally. And we do know that support does go up and down with the crime rate. I would hate to see the crime rate go up, but if it does, I suspect we'll see a pendulum swing back in the other direction.
And as we wrap up, is there a part of the country you're watching this issue on particularly closely right now?
Well, no, I wouldn't say we focus on parts of the country. I mean, our job is primarily to advocate in the courts for the victims of crime and for the law-abiding public, and we take the cases wherever they come.
Kent, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Kent Scheidegger. He's legal director for the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. We talked to him today about his organization's support for capital punishment in the United States at the state and federal levels. They want it to remain as an option in the criminal justice system. That follows a conversation we had last month with the executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center, who made the case against capital punishment and pointed out trends that the country was moving away from it. You can always share your thoughts on this and other issues we talk about over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.